to let go for something greater. This is part of our prosperity series. Last week I talked about tithing. I see there's less of you here this week than last week, so I don't know if I scared some people away. So, but I forgive those who didn't come. In this prosperity idea, one of the things that is so important for us is to recognize that we're already full of things. Our consciousness is full of things. It's not always full of the things that we want to have in our consciousness. There's memories, there's feelings, there's thoughts that sometimes, you know, drive us crazy. And we need to learn to let go of them, to make space for something more, for something greater in our lives. And one of the basic prosperity principles is what's called the vacuum law. That as you let go of something, you make space for something else. And one of the basic ways to practice this, I don't know how many remember several years ago, Barbara King, Reverend Barbara King was here from Atlanta, wonderful, wonderful woman, wonderful minister. And one of the things that she emphasized in prosperity is that, you know, that go into your closets, go into your garage, go into your drawers, find the stuff that's there that you are not using, that you haven't used for years, and sell it, give it away, throw it away, whatever it is. If it's useful for somebody else, you know, sell it or give it away. If it's just junk, just throw it away. And make space for something in your life, because stuff is energy. You know, the substance of God is caught up in all the things in our lives, and we want room for that substance to move in our lives in a way that is helpful and productive and healing and joyous, then we need to get rid of what isn't working in our lives. And one of the important parts of that is forgiveness as a way of making space in our lives. But in terms of getting rid of stuff, we are doing a circulation day, first Sunday in June, and so it's a time when we invite people to come in to give things so that we set up tables and people in the community can come, you can come, and on that Saturday we just give stuff away. People bring stuff to give and people take stuff and there's no money involved. It's just about giving and receiving, just without any other energy. So that's June 2nd if you want to be ready for that. One of the things when I think about forgiveness is that what's been in my consciousness and in talking to others I know as in other people's is that we have this idea, we have this belief that forgiveness is hard, don't we? You know, forgiveness is hard. And I want us to change that. I want us to rather than say, you know, I should forgive, you know, I have to forgive, I get to forgive. And to move with that sense that I'm ready to unburden my soul, I'm ready to unburden my mind and my heart of those things, those hurts, those pains, of things that I've done and not done, and things that others have done and not done. I just want to be let go of that so I can move forward in a greater way. I hope that you want to as well. And there's so much to forgiveness. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and listen to the words of Jesus, the two main things that he talks about over and over again are love and forgiveness. Those are his main themes when you read the Gospels. And I was thinking this week with the suicide of Junior Seau, you know, how much pain that many of us carry around in ourselves that lead themselves. In San Diego County, we have almost 400 suicides a year. So that's more than one a day. We have people in our county who are killing themselves because of whatever they're facing inwardly or outwardly is too much for them. I talked with someone this week who said that she was at one point in her life where she was in such darkness that she didn't even know that she had a family. She didn't even know that she had friends. Yes, in the outer world, she had family and friends, but in that inner world, it was so dark and so deep that she wasn't aware of them. They weren't a part of her consciousness in that moment. And she said it would have been easy for her just to say, you know, there's nothing for me. And so to recognize that we have those feelings, we all go through that from time to time. We all have those feelings like there's nothing there that's worth it. And we need to recognize that sometimes that's from a chemical imbalance in the brain, but we also need to recognize that many times that chemical imbalance in the brain is initiated by thoughts and beliefs of our separateness from God, our separateness from love. And that's why forgiveness is so important, to forgive ourselves and to forgive others so that we can reconnect with that sense of love. It's not that God's love goes away, but that we're in such a space that we don't experience. But it's always there for us in our lives. It's always there for us. And this woman that I was talking to said that if there's anyone who's at that point where they need to talk to someone about what that darkness is like and how to move out of it, she'd be willing to do that. So if you're interested, let me know afterwards and I'll connect you with her. There was a teacher who was trying to help his students understand what unforgiveness was like. And so he bought these bags of potatoes and he had them bring in sacks. And he had them on each potato write the name and the date of something that had happened that they hadn't forgiven, and to carry those potatoes around with them for a week. It got heavy. And after a while, they start to stink. And it's an illustration of what it's like when we don't forgive, when we carry around this unforgiveness. It's a weight on our consciousness. It's a weight on our soul. It's a weight on our body. And it starts to stink after a while. And so it's important for us to forgive. Gandhi said that forgiveness is not for the weak. Forgiveness is not being weak. It takes someone who is strong to forgive. And he said, I will not let anyone walk through my mind with their dirty feet. Because you have to be in charge of what's in your consciousness. And we can't let others do that for us. It's been interesting. There is a professor at the University of Michigan who's done research. He's come up with 20 steps for forgiveness. I'm not going to give you 20 steps this morning. But one of the things that they found is that people who forgive are happier. They are healthier. Their stress is reduced. And what is increased is their sense of self-confidence, because they're not so fearful and resentful and ashamed of themselves and the way that they've lived their life. So forgiveness is such a powerful, powerful thing. Another thing that Mahatma Gandhi said, that if we live by an eye for an eye, it's going to make the whole world blind. So what we want to do is live as love, not just for love, but to live as love. So so one of the phrases is, again, we want to make room for our good. And forgiveness is one of the ways that we do that. So here's, happy, healthier, reduce stress, and increase self-confidence. Well, let's look at our scripture. This is when I read the scripture over and over again this week, I found a wonderful formula in this for forgiveness. And it starts with this idea of the Son of Man. Jesus is speaking, and the story here is one that sticks in my mind, because I remember as a child, I was probably 7 years old, attending the Congregational Church in Wayzata, Minnesota. And we had a little exercise that we did in class in Sunday school where we built these little houses. And the story is that Jesus is in town, and he's talking, and everybody's excited, and everybody's gathered around, and he's in a house, and there's so many people in the house on the floor, standing against the wall, that there's these friends who have a friend who's not able to walk, paralyzed, the palsy is the old translation, and they want to bring him to Jesus to be healed, and they can't even get to the house, and so they pick him up, and they walk along the rooftops. Most of the roofs, they're rather flat, walk along the rooftops, get to the house that Jesus is in, make a hole in the roof, and drop him down. That's how committed our friends they were. And so as he's there, what Jesus says to him is, your sins are forgiven, get up and walk. And there's some Pharisees there, and they're going, that's blasphemy, only God can forgive. And then this is what Jesus answers it: but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now, usually when we see this phrase, Son of Man, we know that Jesus said that, and we think, well, it really means he's saying Son of God. But this term, Son of Man, shows up over and over and over again in the Old Testament, of a way of saying someone who takes on authority to make a difference in the world. And so whether your physical gender is male or female, that is not what this is about. It's about taking on authority. And that's what it says. This word that's power is sometimes translated as authority. That you may know that we have been given given authority on earth in the realm that which we live to forgive sins. We have been given that authority to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. In the Lord's Prayer that we recite, it says, to God we're saying, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses, the way that we've walked over other people, as we forgive the way that they've walked over us. So we're taking that authority that we're going to do that. In fact, the translation that we use when we speak it is as we also have forgiven, as if we're in that process. Hopefully we are. We've been given authority, the power to do that. And so he says to the man who is paralyzed, and just as when Maria was reading the scripture and her little prayer afterwards talked about, what is it about which we are paralyzed? What is it in our life that paralyzes us so that we don't live out the way that God wants us to live? What are the things that we're holding on to? Remember that in the Aramaic, the word that's translated into English as forgive is to untie. What is it that has tied us up in our thinking and our feeling and our acting that has paralyzed us, that now it's time for us to let go, to free ourselves from that? And so he says to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And so what this is saying to us is that we need to untie ourselves from those old patterns so that our spirits, our energy, our lives can be lifted up, so that we can go back to living, back to where we really live, our real habitation, which is God, that presence and power of God in our lives. So this scripture is for us. It's not a story about the past. It's the story about us. And so forgiveness opens a space in us for greater good, because we get rid of that mental, emotional baggage that we don't need, that we've been carrying with us. So forgiveness, the first step is to get with it, to claim your authority, to declare that I'm going to forgive. Not I should forgive, I have to forgive. I get to forgive. When I think of the word authority, I think of the word author. We get to write what our story is. I've been umpiring the last 3 years. Jerry invited me into the process when he was head umpire out at West Hills Little League. And what my favorite umpire joke is, three umpires are talking. The first one says, you're talking about balls and strikes. I call them as I see them. The second one says, I call them as they are. And the third one says, they ain't nothing till I call them. And that's the truth. One of the things we're taught is when the ball comes in is to wait and ask yourself, what did you see? What did you see? And then you call it. Ball, strike, whatever it is. What did you see? What did you see? And so in that same way, what do we see as we look at ourselves and we look at us? If we see in our mind what's wrong, and that's what we're focusing on, that's what we're giving power to. That's what we're using our authority to expand, to focus on, to fixate on, to wrap ourselves up around with. And we have been given authority to forgive. And when we name an experience as something that's a possibility rather than a limitation, then we free ourselves from it. There was a story about a young boy, 12 years old, Joshua Shuffle, who was given a bike for Christmas. He loved his bike. He left it at the side of the house. After a couple months, he heard a noise outside, went outside and saw a guy taking his bike, put it in his truck, and drove off. He was so mad. Someone stole his bike, his Christmas present. And as he thought about it, and he remembered this idea of forgiveness. And so he had his mom help him make a sign, big sign. He says, whoever it is who stole my bike, I forgive you. And he put the sign out in front of his house. A couple days later, when his dad was coming out to get ready to go, he opened the garage door, and there in the front yard, the sign was over, the bike was there, with new handlebars on it. So the sign worked. Forgiveness works. Forgiveness works. Now, it may not be a direct thing. Some of you may remember several months ago, I had Joan Blue talk about an experience that she had where someone had owed her money and had not paid and not paid and not paid. And when we finally, when she forgave that person, the amount that was owed came to her in an amazing way from somebody else, not from that person, because that person didn't have the capacity. And it's so many times, you know, we want that person to change. Well, they're not going to change. You're barely able to make changes in your own life. How do you expect other people to make change? You know, you're the one that has to make that change. And when you make that change, you open the space for greater good in your life. So here's our affirmation today. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Ready? I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Not because you have to. Because you choose to. You choose to forgive because you know not just it's good for you, it's good for the world, it's good for the universe. So get with it. You have the authority to forgive. And get a grip. Get a grip on forgiveness. Recognize that we've got stuff. Face what paralyzes you and recognize that if you've been inactive, it's because you have some unforgiveness in your life and you need to free yourself. I love the story where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and there's a healing pool there. And the tradition is that every once in a while an angel will come down and stir up the water. And whoever is the first one who gets in the pool, after the angel has stirred it up, will be healed. So Jesus comes along. He sees this guy. He knows this guy has been here for about 30 years, waiting to be the first one in. And so Jesus walks by him, and he says, do you want to be healed? And the guy says, well, I tried to get in first, but somebody always gets in first. And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? You know, it's like we all have this excuse. Well, I would be happy except that my mom did this and my sister did that and my neighbor did that. And it's like, do you want to be healed? Or do you want to keep telling your story? Aren't you tired of that story yet? I'm getting tired of some of my stories. I'm ready to be healed. I'm ready to let them go. Ready to move in a different way. And so this is such an important thing. Do you want to be healed? And so we have to look at what it is that we're holding on to. Again, we've been convinced that forgiveness is hard, and we've all been wounded by life circumstances. But it's time to let go. It's time to recognize that we can move on to something else. One of Gandhi's grandsons tells a story. When he was young, he was, I think, I don't know, 16, 17, old enough to drive a car, living in India. And his father had a conference in town. They lived way out of town, you know, like 18 miles out of town. And his dad had a conference he was going to go to. And so he asked the son to drive him into town so he could go to the conference. And while he was there, his mother gave him some things to buy at the store. But he's going to have, you know, several hours to himself. And so his dad told him to pick him up at 5 o'clock. In fact, they're going to get some work done on the car. So they took the car to the garage, and he did his shopping, and he had till 5 o'clock to get the car and pick his dad up. Well, he decided to go to a John Wayne movie, and it was a double feature. And when it got out, he looked at his watch, and it was 6:30. He was supposed to pick his dad up an hour and a half ago. So he goes, gets the car, goes, picks up his dad, and his dad says, what happened? Are you okay? He says, well, the car wasn't ready. Well, he said, well, I called the garage, and they said it was ready at 5 o'clock. And then his dad said to him, I guess there's something wrong in the way that I raised you, and in order to figure out what that is, I'm going to walk home so I have time to think about what it is that I did wrong. So at this time, it's dark. It's India. The road isn't paved. There's no sidewalks. There's no lights. And so this young man drives behind his dad, so his dad has light to walk home. The 5.5 hours it took for his dad to walk home. He said, you know, if my dad had yelled at me, if my dad had beat me, you know, I would have just gone on, you know, not, but because I had to watch my dad walk home 5.5 hours, I never lied to him again. And so we recognize that there's that part of us that can see that truth. There's a new movie coming out, and one of the lines they saw in the trailers, it says, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. So if you're looking at your life and you say, well, it's not all right, well, then because you're not done yet. You haven't gotten to that point where you can let it go. And you're the only one who can do that work. And so Forgiveness, we get with it, we get a grip, and then we get up. What did Jesus say to the man? Arise, get up. Just get up, get up. Don't lay in that anymore. Get up, get up, get up. Stand up. Stand up for something greater in your life. Forgive, forgive. In American Sign Language, the sign for forgive is... I forgive. I give up. Let's move on. Let's move on to something great. And again, and by forgiveness, it doesn't mean that you condone what the other person did. Because obviously they did something wrong. Otherwise you wouldn't have been hurt. In forgiving yourself, obviously you did something wrong. Are you willing to admit it and say, okay, I did something wrong. Let's go on. Please forgive me. Let's go on. Give me a chance to do it over. And they may or may not be different. They may or not own up to what they did. That's not about you. It's about you not carrying that anymore, not letting them walk through your mind with their dirty feet, but to live from the love that you are, to forgive, to free yourself. During the time of the independence of India, there was a lot of tension between the Muslims and the Hindus. And there were some Muslims that had a riot and killed this man's son. And out of anger, he killed a Muslim boy for revenge, an eye for an eye. And he came to Gandhi afterwards and said, I'm so remorse. And so Gandhi says, what you need to do is find an orphan Muslim boy. Raise him as your only son, as a Muslim. Raise him as a Muslim, and that'll transform you. And so when we recognize that it's up to the difference that we take in our lives, then it makes all the difference in our world, in our lives, the way that we live. Because we live out of love, not out of resentment, not out of hate, not out of fear. We live out of love. And it just takes brewing that in our mind again and again. What's the affirmation? I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. It's not just three times. When Peter came to Jesus and said, you know, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Like, that's a lot, right? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. And the way I take that is, if you're counting, you're not forgiving. I'll forgive him once, I'll forgive him twice, I'll forgive him three times. You know, if you're counting, then you're not forgiving. You're still holding on to it. Forgive, forgive, forgive until you're free, until you've set yourself free so that you can get back home, get back home to God, get back connected. Remember the Palm Sunday, my lesson was celebrate. Celebrate God's activity in your life. And I had Carol and Pat make some signs. I am one with God. Well, after second service, I gave them away to people. Well, one of the signs got to the home of Rob and Jeannie and Sammy Fritz. And Sammy and one of her friends made a little parade. So this is on her Facebook page. Jackie told me about it. So there's a little bit of a video to go with it. So they decided to have a parade. And here's Sammy's friends who are just going, she is nuts. They're not excited. But she's got, I am one with God. And she's got it in different colors, and they're ready to have their little parade. You know, are we willing to remind ourselves again and again and again and again and again and again that we are a part of God's love? That's our home. And all the stuff that interferes with us knowing that and experiencing that and living from that, don't we really want to get rid of that stuff? Isn't that what we really want? So that we can know that we're one with God and live that in our lives. To choose peace. To choose peace as a part of that love of God. To get back to that in our lives. So for forgiveness, we're going to get with it, get a grip, get up, get back, and then I'm going to say get cracking. Get into it. Decide that forgiveness is going to be what you're about for the rest of your life. Charles Fillmore, we think of him as a wonderful counselor, used to spend 15 minutes a night looking back at his day and forgiving himself and others for things that had not been the way that he would have liked them to be. Because guess what, folks? There's stuff in our lives that isn't the way we like it to be. And if we go around complaining about it, it doesn't do us any good. We just live in that complaint rather than living in that peace and living in that joy and living in that love, which is the way that our spirits are made. That's who we are. That's who we are. So declare that you have a pattern of forgiveness that you're a part of and that it's easy and joyous and freeing. You can't wait to forgive. You can't wait to unload those stinking potatoes so that you can love. Love yourself, love God, love the people in your life. Face the stuff, but get up, free yourself from it, forgive, let go. Forgiveness opens a space for something greater in your life. That something greater is that activity of God's healing, prospering, illumining, harmonizing love. Let go for something greater. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the gift that is our blessing. Thank you for the life that is our joy. Thank you for your love in which we forgive and release. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.